Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Yes. We want to welcome everybody at all of our multi-sites, micro-sites, online, everybody right here at Stones Crossing. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And then can we give it up for our first-time guest today? We want to give it up for all of you who are watching for the first time you're here. Everybody's been here for 15 years. Thank you again for being back. We're glad that you're here. My name is Aaron Beasley, and I am one of the pastors on staff here, and we have been in a series called In Light of Heaven, and Pastor Matt Scobell kicked it off. He did an amazing job talking about how in light of heaven, how we should view suffering and pain. Pastor Cody last week did an amazing job talking about how we should view our stuff and material possessions in light of heaven, and today I get to bring week three, but it's important to define what we mean by in light of heaven and what this series is all about. And in light of heaven, it just means this, that heaven isn't just the destination, it's the motivation. It's not just about going to heaven. Sure, if we're a believer today, that is where we're gonna be, but it's motivation on how we live in this earth today. That is why Pastor Matt talked about suffering and pain. We view that differently. Pastor Cody talked about stuff. We view that differently. And today I get to bring week three, but we gotta look at the verse too. What's the verse of the series? Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So we are called to think about heaven more than the things of earth. And so today, if that's the case, we've got to look at offenses differently in light of heaven. And now, what do I mean by offense? Well, let's define it. That's important. Offense is a breach of law, a sin, all right, that's committed against us or that we've committed. But also, it's a personal annoyance or resentment based on one's standards or beliefs. And if that's our definition, it's easy to understand why everyone's offended today. Because we all have different standards and beliefs. Now, God has his standards and beliefs on how we should believe, but then many of us, we've been raised differently, we've had different experiences, life has been different, so we have different standards or beliefs. And if that's the case, we can see why offense and offending is high. What do I mean by that? Well, some of us today, we came to church and we were parking our car and we were offended by the way someone parked their car. Because the line is here and the car needs to be here. And we could hit your car and we may hit your car because you parked it wrong. I'm offended by the way that you've parked your car. Some of us in traffic, the way people drive, it offends us. I've probably done some offending. It's why I don't put the Emmanuel sticker on the back of my car. Because we're offended. It's easy. Some of us, our spouse, we've had conversations about how the dishes need to be put in the dishwasher, and we're offended every time they do it. Or the shoes. Some of us were offended by the way our teenagers behave. We've had conversations. Teenagers, some of us are offended by the way our parents parent. Because it's personal standards. And if this is how it is, we can say this. We are offended every day. Every day we are offended by something. By the way somebody says something, by the way they act. It's very easy. And if this is true, that we're offended every day, we can also say this. We all commit offenses every day. I commit offenses at my house. Ask my wife, or maybe don't ask my wife. Some of the offenses that she has, standards and beliefs. She believes that I should be really handy. And here's the thing, I'm not. So every time we're trying to build something, I sometimes offend. Actually, it happened yesterday. I asked my neighbor friend to come over and build the bookshelves at my house for me, and he did a wonderful job, thank you. I didn't do it. But that can offend my wife sometimes. She's like, I just wish you could hang this. Like, look, if I try this, it's gonna take 7 hours. Because we commit offenses every day. There's standards. And you know, there's minor offenses, which I've given you some examples. Somebody says something the wrong way. We have expectations on how the toothpaste should be squeezed. Is it in the middle or at the end? How should the toilet paper roll be put in? We've talked about some of those minor offenses, but there's also major offenses. I understand those. What do I mean by major offense? Well, remember the definition. It's a breach of law or sin. And some of us have had some really terrible offenses happen to us. Like murder. Someone that we know was murdered by someone else. Cheating, stealing. Like we've had our identity stolen. Or someone stolen from our company. Or how about sexual? Adultery. Or someone said they loved us and we gave our body to them and then they left us. Those are major offenses. And I don't want to glance over those today. I know that it takes steps and there's major healing that has to happen and maybe you need to go see a counselor. And I'm not saying, hey, get over it today. What I'm trying to say is that minor offenses or major offenses, this causes us issues if we do it the way the earth wants us to do it. I've seen minor offenses cause divorce because they happen over and over again. And like I said, some of us are holding on to some major pain because of the offenses that have happened to us. And earthly thinking tells us to hold on to these offenses, to hold on to grudges, to be upset that we have a right to do this. How do I know this? Well, go to Center Grove Chatter or Seymour Chatter or Banta Chatter or Franklin Chatter or any city that you're in Chatter, Neighborhood Watch, and just see how people hold on to offenses. Did you know that this plumber is so terrible and they do a good job? Do never hire this person. Then the next thing you know is someone's commenting going, I think that plumber's great. And other people are like, yeah, he's terrible. And it's just blah. Because we're all just commenting on how we're offended by standards and expectations and what's been done to us. And what happens if we hold on to offenses? If we do it the way the earth wants us to? Well, constantly holding on to offenses leads to bitterness, avoidance, and unhealthy living. How do I know this? Well, you can look up Psychology Today or the Boston Bureau of Health or any organization about healthy living. And if you type in, what does holding a grudge do to me? You will find out that it causes depression, anxiety, it raises your blood pressure, you're more likely to have a heart attack, your digestive system has problems, you can have sleep deprivation, your relationships are probably not very good, you're lonely, and I could go on. Well, why is that? Because we weren't made to hold on to grudges. It leads to bitterness. It leads to avoidance. It leads to unhealthy living. And we can just see this in our society today. People are mad about everything. Actually, social media, this is what social media lives off of. Did you know that this person is a Republican? Blah. This person's a Democrat. Never talk to them again. You know, this is true. Emmanuel Church has been on some of these chatters because we've disappointed people. We're sorry. Sorry, I guess. I mean, when you hold on to this stuff, I mean, this is what happens. But see, earthly thinking says hold on to, but in light of heaven, we can view and have a different standard towards offenses. It's true. Well, why? Why can we have a different standard on offenses if we are thinking about the things of heaven and not the things of earth? Well, first, it's because offenses are absent in heaven. Did you know that? Like, they're not there anymore. Because God's going to make that all new. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Aaron? Where I'm gonna take us to the book of Revelation. And some of you today are like, yeah, we're finally getting into Revelation. End times, baby. We're living in them. I don't know if we are or not, okay? I have no idea, but I can tell you this. Whether we're living in the end times or not, God has a different standard for the way that we live right now, all right? And so since offenses are absent, let's look at Revelation 21. It says this, I saw no temple in the city for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, Jesus, are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon for the glory of God. Man, this is a talk for another day, the glory of God. If we could just be on there for a little bit. But the glory of God illuminates the city and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light. The kings of the world will enter the city in all its glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter. No offenses anymore will be allowed to enter. Nor anyone who practices shameful adultery and dishonesty. We're gonna get to that. That means if we don't give our lives over to Jesus, he's gonna make all those offenses and all those people, he's gonna make it right. But here's what I love. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. What does this mean? Well, here's what it means. I mean, do you know I commit offenses? Like I said, I commit offenses. I've probably hurt some of you. I'm really sorry if I've done that. But can I tell you why I'll enter heaven? It's not because of me, it's because of Jesus. And if that's the case, there's other people who've offended me and hurt me, and guess who's gonna be in heaven if they've given their life to Jesus? Them! People who have hurt you. And by the way, I hope they're there, because if they're not, I won't be, because of Christ Jesus. And so we have to view this different. Jesus is gonna make it right, it's gonna be absent. And some people who've hurt us will be there. And I've hurt some of you. And I'm sorry to tell you this, I'm gonna be there. Not because of me. And we should understand this. It's very important. Because some of you today, you're sitting there going, well, this person's not gonna be there unless they change. I don't even know if they really know Jesus. See, this is how our mind works. We gotta change that. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Next thing you know, it's like, well, there's a finger that starts going up. It's not this one. And guess what? That person who cut you off in traffic, they may know Jesus. They even may go to Emmanuel too, but they may not have the sticker for the same reason I don't have the sticker up on there. But thank God they will be absent in heaven. Also, you know this, offenses will be made perfect in heaven. Offenses will be made perfect in heaven. I'm excited about that. Well, what do I mean by that? Back to Revelation, here we go. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth, this right now, has disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride. By the way, I love the picture that Jesus paints and God paints. It's like God's coming back as a bride. And if you've ever been to a wedding, where the bride comes down the aisle and she's dressed in white and everything's beautiful and perfect, that's how God's coming back for us. Beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying this, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. What is God saying? He's saying all those things that have happened to you, it will be wiped away. It will be new. That's why in the next verse it says this, look, I'm making everything new. What does that mean? Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say he's gonna wipe your memory out of the things that happens. He's just gonna make it new. You're gonna recognize people. You know, even on this earth, he can make things that were terrible new. How do I know that? Well, if you know my story, my parents got divorced when I was younger, and that was an offense that was against me. That's an offense. That is not supposed to be what happens, but here's what God's done. It's through his grace and his mercy, he's made that all new, where I have some awesome step-parents. My family, we've never been closer. Also, my dad lives in Florida, so I have a place that I can go visit. That's nice. Because God makes things new. And he's gonna make everything that's happened to you new in heaven. Those offenses are made perfect. That's why then Paul can say this in the book of Romans. He says, do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Do not hold grudges. Do not be like the world. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say this, God will take revenge. I will pay them back, either through the blood of Christ or another way. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, this is how you heap burning coals on them. It's not judgment. It's not holding on to things of shame on their heads. It's don't do evil by doing evil, but conquer evil by doing good. See, that's thinking of the things of heaven, not the things of earth. I hope our campuses are getting this. I hope the people online are getting this. That means when someone cuts you off, you praise them. You switch this finger to hallelujah. They're in a hurry. Your wife doesn't do the dishes the way that you think they should be done. You just go, thank you, God, that I can rearrange this. Boom, 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 boom. Someone has really hurt you, and you start the process of going to see a counselor or getting the help you need so that you can start thinking about the things of heaven and not holding on to it anymore. That is what Paul is saying here. And the earth says, do the exact opposite. Tell everybody how terrible this person is. Tell them this and that and all this. And then that just creates chaos. And that's why we're in this series, because there's a different way to do it. So then how should I view offenses on earth if this is what happens in heaven to offenses? Well, number one, with forgiveness. With forgiveness. See, about a year ago, they asked me to speak at 56 here at Stones Crossing, and it's in the other building. And I was like, no problem. I would love to speak to the 56ers. I mean, I speak to the church, and I was a student's pastor and spoke, and no problem, I'll speak to 56ers. So I show up to the room and all that. And this little girl's there, and her mom's there, and this little girl, she looks up at me, and I say, hey, what's your name? And she goes, Sarah. And the mom goes, that's not your name. Why are you lying to him? And I'm like, oh, we're off to a good start here. This is good. Already lying to me about your name. That's great. So then she told me her real name, I think. The mom didn't tell her that she was lying again, so that's fine. And then I am not joking you. She looks straight at me. Never met this girl. Never seen. She looks up and she goes, you are really bald. How old are you? I'm like, wow. That's a confidence booster. I'm 37, thanks. And I could be really offended by that, right? And by the way, the mom didn't say anything about the bald comment, so I don't know how I was supposed to take that. Good parenting, right? That's what's thinking in my head. And then, but see, God's trying to work on me with this and you know, being offended and how I should respond. And so I looked at her. I'm not kidding you. This is what I said. I said, thank you so much for that compliment. You are so right. God has given me a nice oval dome so that when I step outside, the light of God shines even brighter. Dude, and let me tell you, that little fifth grader was like, you know, she gave that look like, okay, dude, whatever. And then I went and I spoke to the 56ers and it was great. But here's why God's been working on my heart with this, because I could have said something smart alecky back. Or I could have said, yeah, bless her heart, that's good. I could have looked at her and said, oh, I'm sorry that you're going through an awkward phase and things are changing. And so sweet. And then I could have looked at the mom and said, are you gonna do something about this? But here's the thing, by the way, they probably still come here. Thank you so much for coming to Emmanuel. Please don't be offended. But here's the thing, is the reason why I didn't do that is because God started to work on my heart, like, you know what? She is in fifth grade. And by the way, she is going through probably a hard time because things are changing. And if you know 56ers, they're just awkward. They just say things. And maybe the parent has parented over and over, and sometimes they're just tired. Any parents know what I'm talking about? You're just tired? Like, give some parents some breaks, okay? It's hard. And so when I view heaven this way, I can respond differently when people offend me. It's why Paul says this in Colossians again, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Can I tell you, my first reaction sometimes is not tender heart mercy. God's working on me. Other people are working on me with this. My first thing is like, judgment. fix what's wrong with you. I have standards. And even if I get cut off in traffic, I want people to forgive me for the times I do it, right? No, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Why? Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. I mean, I could just stop there. There it is. You don't take anything else from today. Here it is. Hey, did Jesus forgive you? Forgive other people. Don't go to social media. Don't make this. Don't get out of your car. Road rage. Don't do it. Just forgive, because the Lord has forgiven you. So we view it with forgiveness. And then the next way is just with the eyes of Jesus. Or the ways of Jesus, or the way that Jesus handled offenses. Can I tell you, Jesus, if anyone had the right to be offended while he was on this earth, it would be him. Here's the Son of God, King of Kings, made all of us. And he comes down here, and his brothers and sisters don't believe he's the Messiah at first. The Pharisees say things about him that definitely are not true. His disciples desert him. People beat him, even though he's done nothing wrong. And then he went to probably the most offensive thing that could happen to a person. He went to the cross, even though he didn't deserve it. And yet, here is the way that Jesus responded according to the author of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on who? Jesus. Not keeping our eyes on everybody else. Not keeping our eyes on our spouse, or our kids, or the neighbor, or the boss that didn't give us the... No, we keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. What does this mean? Because he knew he was going to heaven. Yeah. He endured the cross, disregarding its what shame? And now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility, all the offenses he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Look, I welcome offenses now, most of the time. The Lord's still working on me. But I'm serious. People cut me off in traffic and I start praying for the person. I'm not joking you. I didn't used to be that way, because God is trying to move in my heart. My kids, man, they give me so many opportunities to show tender-hearted mercy and patience and kindness and humility. And the only way I don't lose it is this. When people say things about our church, because maybe we have messed up, or maybe we didn't, they had expectations that maybe they needed to change a little bit or whatever. You know what? I just go, okay, thank you. God's got a plan, baby. We're good. This is how we are called to live in light of heaven when it comes to offenses. Somebody doesn't vote the way I vote, don't care. Do not care. Do not make it a thing. It doesn't need to be a thing in light of heaven. You know why? Because this earth is going away and the new one's coming. And so because of that, I view things differently. And God is still working on me. I hope that he works on you. And I know there are major offenses, and I'm not asking you to let go and just get over it. That's not what we're doing today. I'm saying if you can do this, God will start to bring healing to your life. This is for you. This is why God is talking to us about this. So my question today as we end is, in light of heaven, will you view offenses differently? Can you view it differently? That God's got a purpose and a plan, and that one day he will make them absent and he will make them new and perfect. And even on this earth, there's a purpose behind them. If we allow God to work on us, I promise. How do I know this? Well, I know this because you know how many times we offend God? Remember, the definition of offense is a breach of law, a sin. You know how many times we don't meet God's standard? All the time. He knew that we couldn't meet his standard. And yet he sent Jesus to die for us, to be a savior for us, to pay for our offenses. And so he went to the cross for every single one of our offenses. But he proved that he was God because he's not dead, he's alive. He rose again, and he says, everyone who believes will have those offenses wiped away, clean. And then he's like, then you can start living for me. You can start living different than everybody else, and you can point people to why you're different. Because I came for you. And so across all of our campuses, online, even right here, I'm gonna say a prayer, but the prayer doesn't save us. It's the heart behind it, to give your offenses, to give your life over to Christ. It's the only thing that can save you. And you can say something like this today, God, I've offended you. I haven't met your standard. I've messed up. But thank you so much that you loved me, that you sent your son Jesus for me, who endured the cross, who endured hostility from sinful people for my sake, so that I could be forgiven and redeemed. And so today I give my life over to you, Jesus, for the sacrifice you made on the cross, and I believe that you rose again and that you live and that you've got a better way for me to live. In the way of Jesus, a way that can focus on heaven, because now my eternity is secure. It's not based off what I've done, it is based off what you have already done. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. And for everybody who made that today decision, we want to give it up. It's the best decision you can ever make. And we've got something for you. It's called our Save Box. And so we would love for you to text SAVE to 65248. It's got a Bible in it. It's got your next steps in it. And if you're online, we will mail this to you. Just put some information in there. Go to the information desk at your campus if you made this decision. I promise you, this will help on your next steps in your journey of faith. Can we give it up for all those people again that made that decision today? Will you join with me as I pray to close, and then I'm gonna turn it over to local teams. Jesus, I thank you so much that we can view offenses differently because you gave your life for us. That in view of heaven, I can view them differently because you will wipe them away. You will make them new. There will be no more evil. But until that day comes, God, help me treat the offenses that happened to me today with forgiveness and with the eyes of you. Thank you so much for your grace and mercy. We give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.